You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
All right, like, what about this? It's a holiday that celebrates Mexican independence, but instead of celebrating Mexican independence, it celebrates some scumbag that will gladly look the other way when his bandmate is a pedophile. So he can finish his last tour. We'll call it Joey DeMaio.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. This is the Toil to Hell radio show. I am Joe Thrashenkill. Got my good friend, 365 Days of Horror. Say hi, 365.
Hello.
Very sexy. And we got that there producer.
What's going on, fellas? It's a good day to be back.
Is it?
No. But hey, we're gonna try to put on a hell of a show for you. We got a lot of stuff happened. It was a busy couple weeks, wasn't it?
Sure was. This is technically speaking, I guess, on the day this goes live, our spooktacular Halloween episode.
Ooh. Oh fuck. You should definitely put
Wow. I think that we actually like did things for the last couple of Halloween episodes, but we've neglected to do that. So we'll do our best to just be spooky and or ooky on this episode.
Be able to retire.
tight. Yeah, that rules. There's no way we can stay underneath the increases in temperature set with the Paris Accord. Just not going to happen. And right-wing terrorism is on the rise, so lots of spooky shit going on.
There's no ethical consumption under capitalism.
Yeah, that too. I guess something a little bit more lighthearted is that the fucking guy from Manowar is a rock spider.
No, what do you mean by rock spider?
Because yeah, explain that term. I've never heard that as a southern thing.
The Australians they shared this term with me, and I think it's fantastic because a rock spider, like, what do they do? They're known for sneaking around small holes.
Oh my god!
Leave it up to the Australians.
Yeah, let's find a more distasteful way to talk about pedophiles.
Holy shit. Yeah, that's the thing about every Australian pun is it has just like so many stupid layers. Like nothing is just straightforward.
Well, their criminal nature. They had nothing else to do when they were like hanging out in their penal colony. So they were like, all right, let's think of more fucked up ways to talk about fucked up situations.
Yeah. What do they? We talked about this before, but what do they call Americans?
Seppos.
Seppos, yeah. And originally I was like, oh, because we separated from England or something stupid and historical, but no, it's because it's septic tanks.
Yeah, it's a cause we're full thing. Of shit. It's like yank to septic tank, and then everything in Australia has an O ending. So if you were to go to the liquor store, they call it a bottle shop or a bottle O, which is nonsense, absolute nonsense.
Fucking stupid O.
I do think that they have the preferred way of talking about bikers, though. They call them bikies, which affords a guy that makes his identity as Harley Davidson the proper amount of respect.
There you go. All right. Well, you won me back, Australia. Good
this
good
time.
On that one. Yeah.
Distasteful Australian mannerisms aside, the news that came out on Friday was that guitarist in Manowar, Carl Logan, was arrested on child pornography charges, which is horrifying, but I think it led to a brief shining moment of everybody firing on all cylinders of making jokes about Manowar. My favorite was, you know, other bands play Manowar diddles kids.
Wow.
There were some other ones. It was that's not what we meant by all men play on 10.
Oh my fucking god.
So
that's the best one. Yeah, that's got to be the winner right there.
Yeah, it's good.
I mean, no one's a winner really, but
no, because it's a horrible fucked up situation. Like that, you have some weird, creepy 6-year-old man who's like, you know, preying on children via child pornography. You know,
not to mention he gets himself oiled up and all in leather on stage every night like his weird, like bangsy haircut.
He looks like the Crypt Keeper with the Edgar Winter wig on top.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, he's got that albino vibe.
Do you think it's a wig? I wonder if it's a wig.
It's a really bad wig if it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like when you see really bad hair, you're like, no one could have possibly paid for that.
Well, it's interesting because if you look at his mugshot, his hair is definitely thinning. Whereas if you look at like the live picture of him next to his mugshot, his hair is like full and vibrant and a different color. So it's probably a wig.
Maybe he has like a little extension or something for the middle of his forehead.
Sexy.
But yeah, I think that the coolest news that came out of this, cool, of course, being, you know, a bit of a stretch here, is that the news came out Friday, which is October 24th or 5th, it actually was revealed that he was arrested in early August. So the band was, and you know, he bonded himself out. The band knew about this and continued touring with him throughout this. So that's awesome. They when forced on Friday, they said that he will no longer be performing with Manowar.
You know, the new album and upcoming tour will not be affected.
Yeah,
that's it.
I thought this band was supposed to stop fucking touring. Like, I thought they were done.
Yeah,
yeah. It's the same with like Slayer. Their farewell tour goes on for 3 or 4 years, and then they have the farewell to the farewell tour, and then farewell festival appearances. The ride never ends.
Yeah. Well, at least we can say farewell to Carl Hogan.
Yeah. It's just, you know, if you were to consider for some fucking reason, like, you know, buying a Manowar t-shirt, going to see them on their never-ending tour, or buying the new record, just maybe think about the fact that Joey DeMaio was well aware of what was going on and just had this guy continue finishing that stretch of the tour anyway. So.
Oh, man, forget that. Right around the news being announced, I think there was like some sort of Facebook or Instagram story where it showed just like tons of Manowar fans showing off their tattoos related to Manowar.
Oh, no.
Just have that just emboldened on your form somewhere for the rest of your life.
Yeah, man, what a silly thing. I can't believe anybody would ever get a Manowar tattoo. It's hardly timeless like my Lost Prophets tattoo.
Hey, the fake sound of progress really meant something to you.
Well, that's horrifying stuff. I think there was a really great meme that came out of this, though. I saw share it around on Twitter. It was, you know, the Predator meme of Arnold Schwarzenegger's tout muscly arm grabbing Carl Weathers' tout muscly arm. You know, it's labeled there like the left side is Inquisition fans, the right side is Manowar fans. It's shitty music and child pornography.
Boy.
Horrible stuff, but a lot of jokes that you can pull out of this one.
It's one of those situations where, like, you can't really do anything. All you can do is make jokes.
Yeah, I feel that way about most of my life, I guess.
Oh, no.
But there's been, like, a number of really weird, fucked up things going on in the world of heavy music, I suppose. It's been a pretty packed week of things, of scumbaggy behavior all thrown together.
Yeah, have you heard about this? Have you seen this? So we got
the... Do the voice.
Are you hearing about this? Have you seen this?
Good.
What? Okay, so we're talking about Jay Leno, right?
Yeah.
As far as the voice.
Yeah.
Because I got voices, man.
I know.
You guys know.
Yeah.
So we got Cat Cats from, which, I mean, is that a real name, Cat Cats? I was oblivious to all of this before the whole thing happened. Because I've probably heard a couple of agoraphobic nosebleed tracks in my life, but I don't know if I've ever, like...
Really
got down with them. Yeah, I don't know.
I like agoraphobic nosebleed. I think that they are good and not bad. Well,
right.
You know.
And that's fair. I don't think they're bad either. It's just, you know, there's just like we're like ships passing in the night when it comes to this heavy metal shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's fair.
When anybody gets on anybody's case where it's like, you mean you haven't listened to Bumfuckado? And it's just like, I haven't. You know.
But Bumfuckado should have been in the Big Four.
Yeah. It was the best heavy metal band to ever come out of Louisiana.
Yeah.
yeah, so Cat Cats.
Legends before their time. Yeah. So we got Cat Cats not leaving Bumfuckado, but Agoraphobic Nosebleed over an incident that occurred in Montreal.
What was I didn't really get into this. Just, you know, it was the end of the week. Lots of things were going on. What happened?
So essentially, and I'll be there'll be a lot of paraphrasing because I don't have the info in front of me. But Cat Cats, she came with a statement where she's like, I'm leaving the band because I'm tired of being bullied by a bunch of dudes. And, you know, being a fairly young lady, I think she's like 34. That kind of raises the alert because we all figured that, you know, these guys would be were being really rough with her, making nasty jokes or something. So the band released a statement saying what happened, which was they were trying to get in contact with her before a show. She was off somewhere. They didn't know where she was. And she wasn't responding to any of their messages. So when they finally got caught up to her, they started in on her. They just gave her a really hard time about the fact. It sounds like they were more or less screaming in her face and like freaking out about the fact that she didn't get right back with them. So then she released a statement saying that, you know, was dealing with a mental health emergency for one of her friends, and she didn't reply for 45 minutes. That was it. And so she, you know, so the stories are corroborated, but I mean, the guys in the band are saying like, well, the reason that we, you know, screamed obscenities in her face is because we love her. We wanted to make sure that she was okay.
Abusive boyfriend logic 101.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's the worst shit. So that's kind of where we're at now. I think she released another statement just saying, I wish them all the best, but forget about it. And so on and so forth, which, yeah, it's quite a ride.
Well, I don't know. You guys have been in bands. Have you ever been like yelled at by a band member?
I was called a fat F slur just about every time I hung out with them. But other than that, I don't think I was screamed at. I mean, we get like it was a hollery bunch of guys, you know. I don't think I was yelled at so much as yelled with. Okay. We're loud Massachusetts guys. We're just like, you're a fucking cunt. No, you're a fucking cunt. That's all it was.
I was in a band a decade ago with a guy who was just a real bad drunk, like a real abusive drunk. So like, he would like berate me in front of the other dudes several times, and then one time I had enough, and like it was a physical thing. And then of course the band like broke up immediately afterwards. You know, like, nobody likes to be fucking yelled at. That's the thing.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
there's few things I hate more than being yelled at. Like, it's an awful feeling.
So, especially at our age, you know?
Oh, yeah.
The fact that we're over 30. Like, if I get fucking scolded by a superior, it's like, oh, man, I'm just boiling for hours to days. Yeah. I'm so fucking pissed off when people yell at me. It's my least. Like, I'll just drop my tools and walk out if a customer yells at me and shit. Like, I just don't fucking deal with it.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm a grown-ass fucking person. Like, you can't speak to me this way. Like, I don't have to fucking take that shit. That's how I feel about that kind of situation, yeah?
Right. And I'm sure that's how Cat Cats felt.
I love saying that name out loud, by the way. Cat Cats.
Yeah, Cat Cats. It's like Kit Kat, but
I'm reading, she put out a longer statement, and she mentioned sexualized bullying as well in her statement. So that's a whole other level that we would never have to deal with.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, they probably were making us as a crew jokes and shit. I mean, if she's in a van with these guys for how many months, I mean, God knows what they say, what they do, and everything else. And considering how they're talking about her now.
And Jay Randall is in this band, and I don't know if you guys have had any kind of interaction with him, but he is a scumbag.
Is he? Well, yeah. All right. There you go. Yeah, I mean, I in regards to my last band with the whole like fat F-slur thing, it's just that I think there are certain kind of male friends that act a certain way around each other. And those guys were the type of guys that would just constantly rip on each other and constantly bully each other and constantly play pranks on each other. And that's just how they were. And I just didn't really jive with that. So it kind of, you know, it just got kind of tiring to hang out with those sort of dudes. And so, not necessarily anything against them, except that they, you know, talked like middle schoolers from 2002 all the time.
I legit hate that shit. Like, I've cut everybody out of my life that behaves that way. Because that's a really common thing among dudes, that like dudes are cruel to each other, and a lot of people justify like these horrible toxic relationships with their male friends because it's like that's what dudes are supposed to do. It's like, no, fuck that. I don't want to be a part of that.
Toxic masculinity.
Exactly. I deserve better than like some dude constantly dumping on me or trying to pull some kind of cruel prank on me. Like I don't need to live that way.
Right.
Yeah. It's the stupid mythos of the alpha male.
Yes. And the two or three male friends that I have, you know, left in this world are the guys that aren't like that. The guys I can just like hang out with and talk about my week and we can go fucking get beers and stuff and it's fine.
Yeah,
it's not
same.
Just constantly roasting each other all the time. Like that shit, you know.
When I was younger, every friend that I had was that way. Pretty much every friend anyway. Just everybody's mean as shit to each other.
Right. And the thing is like no one likes it. It's grating on everybody. We all laugh it off because we feel like we have to laugh it off, but because out of this internal fear that we'll look like a pussy if we don't laugh it off.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it's just like, dude, that shit is grating. It just is. Like, no one likes getting roasted by their friends. And everyone in the comments would be like, oh, you know, it's fun. No, you fucking hate it. Shut up. Like, you actually hate – everybody hates it. And I think it's just this weird, like, I don't know, sort of – it's like you said, it's just how toxic masculinity is. No one's really saying how they feel, but we just all play into it. Because, of course, I'd roast them back to fit in.
Yeah. But, I mean, the worst is, like, when there's, like, one dude in the group that, like, everybody dumps on harder than the rest.
Yeah.
Like, I hate that shit. That's terrible. Don't do that to people, man.
Yeah, man. It's like, if you really don't like the guy, don't hang out with him or just stop dumping on him.
Yeah. Try being nice. Fuck.
Right. Just try it. So that's I can assume that's what she's talking about. Is she probably got dunked on a lot. They probably used all sorts of stupid bullshit scumbag comments on her all day, every day. And sure, it wore down on her and she didn't want part of it anymore. So
in the statement, she also mentions overt and unwanted sexual behavior directed towards her.
Mm.
So this is more than just words from the sounds of it.
Yeah.
Poster, I mean, actually,
I don't want to speak out of turn here, but that's definitely that Jay Randall dude.
Yeah, sure.
So yeah, that sucks. That sucks way hard, man. Fucking do better. That's what I got. Be nice to people. There was another instance that came up this week of like basically. People bullying another person into their band being out of existence, which is pretty shitty, man. Roman showed me the other day that Melissa, formerly, gosh, what was it, Civ Chrome of Absu, the Texas black metal band, is V's Chrome. Sorry about that. I was close. This, I don't know.
Well, it's interesting because it's a stage name. I wonder if she's would still have gone under it.
I don't know, but Melissa Moore, formerly, for more than a decade, played guitar in Absu, and prior to that, she was in Rumpelstiltskin Grinder, which I don't know if you guys ever listened to, but like I was super into that band, like you know, a decade ago.
I really liked them. Buried in the Front Yard is a fun album.
Yeah, I revisited it, you know, the other day just because you know her name was in the news. I'm like, yeah, this shit still rips, man.
Ships passing in the night for me. I don't have a clue. I guess I'll check it out.
I mean. I found out about this band. I went to some like vinyl trading event, you know, the type that just the worst disgusting neckbeards go to. And I was like, you know, I met a guy and we were bonding over shared tastes. He was like, man, you got to check out Rumpelstiltskin Grinder. I'm like, that's dumb as hell, but I'll check it out. And yeah, I dug him a lot. So anyway, Melissa Moore in the news the other day made a statement saying that she basically came out as trans, and was decrying the current state of trans repression coming out of the White House, which is, I guess par for the course with the worst people on earth. And in the process, other people had seen statements that said that the other folks in Absu, the other two dudes, just were kind of what is the word for it? Discriminatory towards her, like about her identity, and like through it, it kind of unraveled the entire band. I don't think that anybody realized even that Absu was broken up. So. It's really, really disappointing for a lot of people that have been fans of Absu for a long time, and I guess perhaps had a misplaced sense that maybe they were slightly less knuckle draggy than black metal peers. I mean, Jordan, did you see these statements?
I saw these statements. I also saw the comment section for these stories, and it's always just a helpful reminder that metal is not as accepting as we like to think it is.
No, not yet. Not at all.
It's deeply disappointing that people can point to somebody that they've enjoyed their music for years and years and then say, oh, well, fuck you. Like, just immediately flip a switch and become just the angriest shithead online.
Or refer to a trans woman as it.
Yeah, don't do that, you fucking chuds. It got me, like, I kind of lost my temper trying to deal with the shitheads that were commenting on the posts I had written. It's always on Facebook. The worst fucking people on earth are on Facebook, and they freely comment with their real names and real pictures and pictures of their children next to it.
Job location.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
I guess I...
Wife, name, everything. Oh, my God.
I'm most disappointed. Like, I understand, and I hate you are my ideological enemy, you know, just extreme right-wing shuds that, you know, believe that these people are less than human. I hate them. But even more insidious is the fucking... self-proclaimed centrist, or even worse, self-proclaimed liberal, that says, like, you know, I'm in favor of rights and all, but I think that this whole thing is going a little bit too far. You are the worst kind of shithead.
Yeah, it's people that say, like, PC culture. As soon as someone says that, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm not listening to a thing you have to say because you're being unreasonable. You're not being genuine about either wanting to talk about these issues or discuss them. It's all about you all of a sudden, and it is not about you.
It's the same kind of fucking people that will ridicule everybody for their Nazi under the bed rhetoric, but then a week later, an actual fucking no-joke Nazi goes into shit synagogue in, like, what was it, Pittsburgh, and shoots a bunch of fucking people.
There were multiple Nazis over the last couple of days. Like, just to be straight up, there was a...
Yes.
There was a synagogue shooting. Yeah, there was a synagogue shooting yesterday. There was the MAGA bomber, the guy that sent pipe bombs to a bunch of weirdly establishment democratic people. And some that... Most of them are not even in power. The guy's dumb. And then, of course, there was this fella that tried to go into a black church and kill black people. He wasn't able to get in, so he went to a fucking Kroger and shot the first two black people he could see.
Beautiful.
This was in the course of 3 days. These are the last 3 days. So yeah. You come at me like decrying PC culture or whatever. Like, you are just making grist for this aggrieved, murderous right wing mill. And
It's like one thing that, you know, I'll do that I probably shouldn't do is I'll use the term Nazi as a disparaging term to talk about a people on a spectrum of bullshit. I'll throw that term around a lot. The moment I see a MAGA hat, you're a fucking Nazi. I'll flip it off your head and call you a Nazi to your face. Like, maybe you're not. Maybe you don't think Hitler is just the best and you love him and kiss pictures of him. But, like, you ride with people that do. Yeah, so
there is
that's
no
what's up.
Indication over the last 2 years that anything coming from this MAGA sentiment is not related to white nationalism, white supremacy, violent right-wing rhetoric. So, I mean, it's not a stretch, man.
No, not at all. And it's like these people who these fucking senshas who, you know, sit on the fence but always squawk on one side of it whenever they get the chance. I mean, you're the problem too. You're worse, if anything, because at least it's you try to exist within this realm of obscurity. There's so is not fucking there. We know what's up.
Take a fucking side, you pussy.
So this is how crazy this week has been. I actually forgot about this other story that we haven't talked about, and it's a bunch of actual Nazi bands playing at
Dingbats,
a club in North New Jersey. Like that's how crazy this week has been. I actually forgot about that.
Yeah. So what was the deal? Like, they put up this shitty Nazi fest that had like a bunch of Antichrist Kramer bands and niggas.
Neoglyphs, Intolitarian, and Northern, formerly known as Northern Cold Vengeance.
Unfuckable.
See, Unfuckable would never be involved with these bands. Come on.
They have integrity. Right. So yeah, like the thing was, they announced this fest, Dingbats, this venue, and it's Clifton, New Jersey, right?
Yeah, and it's Dingbats with a Z, so you have to say Dingbats.
This fest got canceled, or the venue said that they canceled after, you know, pressure from people. Hey, don't put Nazis on your fucking stage. Like, yeah, we'll cancel it. And then they went ahead and had this fest anyway with these bands. They just fucking lied about it.
And I think they actually had a fest-only shirt I read about where it showed an Orthodox Jewish man with, like, a bloody face, and they were selling it at this festival.
Yeah, that I think I saw that, too. That's definitely an totalitarian design. The Antichrist Kramer, the guy behind totalitarian, also had, like, a label called, I think it's, like, Satanic Skinhead. I think that's the one.
Yeah,
classy.
He, in addition to doing these straight-up Nazi bands, he does Nazi visual arts, which basically took the grindcore style popularized by bands like Napalm Death and just, you know, made it Nazi. There's not a whole lot of creativity going on here.
The owner from Dingbats, known as Freddy Dingo,
real name's
Fred
Christ.
Barnes. In this statement, he said, "You get put in a no-win situation in whatever you do here. Being an owner of the club, you look at it as freedom of speech. When does the censorship issue come in, and where does it escalate from here?"
Well, I mean, like, you have bands hawking shirts in your venue of a bloodied Orthodox Jew. And like a couple of days later, a guy walks into a synagogue and blows away a bunch of Jewish people for just no other reason than he hates Jews. So, I don't know, man. Maybe you have some shred of responsibility to your community, you stupid fucking dick.
The promoter, Kyle Powell, had an even worse take. Quote, "People are hell-bent on being PC and get offended. If you're offended, then fine, don't attend the show. But don't try to ruin it for the people who have traveled and paid to see the artist play."
Hey, end quote. Those Nazis have money, too.
Yeah, I'm gonna ruin it for them. How about that? How about fucking that? Man, I've been thinking a lot about this sort of thing lately with Nazis playing in venues and stuff like that. And first of all, it's not a censorship issue. It's a consumer issue. If you're a venue like Dingbats, I don't care if the fucking coolest, most leftist band in the world plays there. Don't give them money to go see that show. If you're the cool leftist band ever, don't go to that show to play. Go to that venue to play a show. I mean, this guy's going to lose business because of this, and that's why most venues cancel this kind of shit, is because they're like, wow, I don't really want this on my track record to lose a lot of potential business, so I'm not going to do it. And then you got all these morons in the comment section crying foul and saying First Amendment this, First Amendment that, free speech, my rights, censorship, but it's got nothing to do with that. It's just the power of consumerism stopping this shit in its tracks, because that's fucking all the power we have these days, is out of our wallets. Not to mention, like, if you guys are so fucking tough and you're so in your face and everything else, and you really want to just play your hateful black metal, go do it on the street. Go ahead, go get a fucking Roland cube and or a generator and get your moron to set up his fucking drum set for 25 minutes in front of a crowd of angry Antifa and go ahead and play it anyway. Go ahead. Oh wait, I see what the problem is. You're not making money. oh, you're not making all the dollarinos you want to make here. So that's the problem, which makes you a sellout cunt. So sucks for you.
I'd prefer if we could look at things from an angle of not just straight, you know, capitalism or consumerism. Just say, like, I am a part of this community, both for fucking Freddy Dingo. Like, I'm a part of the metal community. I'm a part of the Clifton, New Jersey community, which, you know, you can't choose which community you're a part of. But you have to say to yourself, like, I think we should all say to ourselves, like, how am I a part of this community? Am I a person that is going to contribute to an overall hateful rhetoric, rise in hateful rhetoric, that would target other people in my community? Or do I owe it to people in metal? Do I owe it to people in the local community to take a stand and say, this does not do anything for anybody? I take a stand here and I stamp this out. So it's just a moral failing, because people are moral fucking cowards when it comes to this. They refuse to take a side, and as a result, white supremacy runs wild on them.
There was an article on NorthJersey.com yesterday that came out. There were protesters at Dingbats yesterday. And yeah, so there's your local community. Not everyone's into it.
Yeah,
of course not. Of course not. And something that I hear a lot, as far as the centrists, they're bad. You know, they do their thing. One thing that they love to do is they love to say that, you know, the negative reaction, the protests, the violence against them, that's what the Nazis want. They're trying to rile us up. They're trying to get it out of us to come out and start swinging. They really, really don't like that. They very historically hate that very much. The moment anything gets protested, they shrivel the fuck up, because they can't take it. They can't handle it. They think that they can just use this sort of rhetoric as their own little squeaky toy and swing it around all they want. And the moment, like, if you want black metal to be dangerous and danger actually physically materializes, then you got what you wanted. There you go. But they don't want that. They want to have their hate society of morons in peace. And when they don't have it in peace, they start bitching online about it.
What is it? What is it Mike Tyson said? Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face.
It's very intelligent, Mr. Tyson. I you know, I give you credit.
I expected more from a place called Dingbats.
Yes.
I don't know, Jordan. Like, how you especially, like, as a Jew, like, surely you are affected by this more than the rest of us. Like, what is it? What's going on in your mind now?
I'm sadly not surprised at any of this. I've come to expect it, to be honest. The thing is, with this stuff, people forget about in a week, which is the saddest part of all of it. I mean, the only thing you can do is stand up to these people in any way possible, whether it's, yes, go out and vote these scumbags out of office, that these Steve Kings who go on anti-Semitic radio shows and talk about how we don't need diversity.
Steve King is an outright Nazi now. It's incredible. Like, he's not even hiding it.
Yeah, there's, at this point, there's no hiding any of it with these people. It is what it is, where we are right now as a country. And I think we really need to step up in any way possible. Like I said, either through voting, or if it needs to get physical, then by all means, punch a Nazi.
I had, I guess, confused opinions for a while, but I'm getting strapped. I feel like that's maybe the best solution going forward.
I've always... And you know, it's ridiculous, but I've always told people on the left, like, you know, I wouldn't be so sure about not being, like, pro gun. I would, I would strongly consider who has all the guns all the time.
Yeah, it's a math equation. Like, right. you know that they're out there, you know that they are murderous, and you know that they're armed. Maybe you should be too.
Which is a great, that's also something that gun chuds love to say, is like, well, if the synagogue was full of cowboys, then this wouldn't happen, you know?
Didn't that guy kill three cops?
Yeah.
Trained professionals. Can you imagine having a weekend overweight security guy with a handgun on him? How much that would have helped?
Yeah, he would have murked like a dozen more innocent people.
Yeah, the thin yellow line.
Oh no, there's that one in the 30 years. I don't think the solution is more bullets flying. I get that, but I mean, fuck, man. If people talk about civil war all the time, it's not going to go so well.
Yeah, it's. I don't have any intention of like open carrying or like concealed carrying or anything. Like it's just having this as an option in the backup.
Well, now I'm just picturing you with your cowboy hat twirling a handgun as you walk into a 7-Eleven like Homer from The Simpsons.
Yeah, I really do want to get a revolver. Those are so fun.
Well, yeah. let's talk about something fun instead. I still have these two drinks I need to try.
Yeah, which one are you want to get on today?
Well, I have the smaller one that I got from the Indian market, the Socio mixed fruit. And then I have this gigantic Portuguese drink that's passion fruit and half real sugar, half fake. I kind of want to drink that one just because the bottle's so big and I just want to take like one sip and then pour the rest out.
Let's do that. Get on. What is this one called again?
Sumol, fruit de la passion.
I like the sound of that.
This is the one that's like Mountain Dew neon green.
Yeah, let's do it. That's the one I was going to suggest because I'm so interested at the concoction of half and real sugar.
Yes.
All right, let's try this. It's actually not bad.
Yeah? What does it taste like?
Like fruit drink, kind of fruit punchy, sort of half, you know, it has that little bit of fake sugary taste to it, but not bad altogether.
If you were to describe this flavor in a color, what would it be?
Neon green.
Okay. You know, sometimes you get something that's more of a neon blue.
Yeah, it's a little citrusy, but still has that fake taste to it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think is the most neon green metal band?
Most neon green metal band?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a tough one, man.
Well, how do you interpret neon green as a sound?
Well, you got to think of who would most likely have a neon green aesthetic in their album cover.
So like a 1991 pizza thrash band?
Right. You got like Toxic Holocaust, for instance.
Sure.
Or very neon green.
Slick Toxic.
Toxic with a K.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Municipal Waste. I apologize so hard. I'm thinking of the guy's like neon green guitar. And I was like, yeah. That T-shaped guitar for Toxic Holocaust. No, it's
the other thrash revival band that was popular 15 years ago.
Right, that was related somehow to nuclear waste in some way.
Yeah.
So forgive me, but yeah, I was thinking of Municipal Waste. But I don't know. Could go a little more classic. Something like Typo Negative. Think of Peter Steele's bass. Very neon green.
I get a more of a orange vibe from Typo.
Really? Their whole shtick was green.
Yeah, but it's not doesn't sound like green.
I get more of a neon like green. I get more of a neon green vibe from like Code Orange.
Yeah, I mean they're pretty Mountain Dewy.
Yes, like a Mountain Dew kickstart.
Yeah. What was that? The AM soda?
Oh yeah, I think they still sell that. Yeah, Kickstart. Yeah, it's like fruit juice and Mountain Dew for when you want to have soda at 8 a.m.
Right. When you go to Taco Bell and get your Taco Bell breakfast, they have Mountain Dew Kickstart on tap.
And the Baja Blast machine isn't working.
It just feels like colon cancer.
It does. I can feel my esophagus just slowly eroding. Every time I try it.
And I went to Garbage earlier this week. I didn't talk about that. The band Garbage.
Oh, okay. Oh,
I was going to ask if you did any unboxing.
No, that's your shtick. Mine was just going to see the band. And it was up in Boston at the House of Blues. And if people have never been there, it is literally across the street from Fenway Park.
Yes.
And the show took place on the first night of the World Series.
You were a braver man than I.
Yeah, well, when I bought the tickets, it was in the summer, way before they were, you know, any World Series had been decided. So I had to kind of shove and elbow my way through every Timmy, Tommy, Jimmy, and Johnny within a 5-mile radius of Fenway.
Every Patrick, every Brendan, really, honestly.
Just 1,000 people that look like you.
That's right. Just big and fat and stupid and Irish.
I was at a bar last night watching the UT game, and there was a bar, you know, 50 feet away where a bunch of shitheads were watching the Red Sox game. I was just tempted to yell, "Shut up, Sully," the entire time.
So yeah, the show itself was good. I was really concerned that the show would get out at the same time as the World Series game.
Yeah, goths versus jocks.
It wasn't goths, though. It was all like moms and dads. Like, I was definitely on the younger end of the crowd that night.
And Garbage is a classic for sure.
Yeah, they're alt rock. So they were great. They're a really good band. I was kind of annoyed that they played for literally 2 hours. I don't want to do anything other than sleep for 2 hours.
Yeah, I only know like one Garbage song, so that's a lot of show.
Yeah, it's like if you love the band, like that's awesome. That's so cool. And you definitely get your money's worth. If you're me and you know maybe 10 songs in their whole discography at most, it's like, okay, let's wrap it up, guys. I got to go home.
Yeah. But
you can kind of, this was on a Tuesday night, and you can kind of see all the moms and dads getting kind of tired like the first hour in. But afterwards, we took a tram up from Providence to Boston, so we were going to take one back. The last one leaves at midnight, and we get to the station at like 11:40. Oh, because of the World Series, instead of having two trains leave, they just pushed the last one back to 12:45 in the morning. So I had to wait there an hour, and then we didn't get in until like 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
See, this is why going to shows is terrible.
Right.
Yeah. And this is why public transportation needs to go more than just 12 hours a day.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously, well, dude.
I think the public transit system is like much more essential than some fucking rock band. I think the rock band could maybe adjust a little bit.
True.
Well, even so, like the public transportation in the city, the MBTA, also known as the T, like their underground subway, it only has like 4 cars per like subway move. So everything was packed like sardines. It was awful. Like, we ended up walking a mile to the venue rather than taking whatever, a dollar subway. It sucked.
I will just, in Boston, I will walk in a 5-mile radius around wherever I want to go. And if it's not there, I'm not going to it. I will not fucking take the T.
It's great, though, that you have options for public transportation. Here, the option is drunk driving.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it's good, except for like when these bands play late and everyone just has to leave at 10:30 and the venue clears out even though the band's still going because they have to catch the last train.
Not to mention, Joe, since everybody's in like a big pickup truck, your survival rating is just that much better, right?
I mean, again, I'm just like leaning into the right wing shithead move because I have a big pickup truck.
Yeah, you just got to blend in a little bit, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be one of those things like, you know, you stare too long into the void and the void stares back. You know,
right.
Next week, I'll get on the show wearing my MAGA hat.
Cool.
Well, you're not far away from getting a Blue Lives Matter sticker on the back, and you could just claim it so cops don't bother you. But then you start thinking a little differently.
I started designing a Blue Lives Matter sticker that just like very neatly you can see it's written in blue letters, "Fuck cops."
I don't think you're a true pickup truck driver until you get a bumper sticker talking about how the competitor's pickup truck is gay.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, yeah. If you purchase this other vehicle, you are a homosexual.
Right.
Calvin pissing on a Chevrolet logo.
I'd rather push a Ford than drive a Chevy.
Damn.
Yeah, either that or like a sticker that says, "I am armed and I will murder you over the slightest provocation."
Right. I am Catholic. I vote.
Pro-life, by the way.
Oh, yeah. No, Jesus sticker there, too. Next to all your jingoistic bullshit.
Sangre de Jesus.
Well, I figure, you know, it is our Halloween episode. We're a little late on this. Can we at least talk a little bit about Halloween-y shit?
Yeah, let's talk about some horror movies, man.
Yeah, man. I guess I asked you guys, but did you end up doing a costume at all?
No, this weekend just came and went. I didn't do any Halloween parties at all. It was the first time the thing is I get invited to one every year by my brother, but that idiot, he fucking has it every weekend. I go to Rock and Shock, like Jordan and I went to, but I'll probably go to his party next year because it'll probably be better than Rock and Shock. Rock and Shock sucks now. So,
I mean, like, you did at least see some good bands.
It depends. Like I said, sometimes it's metal or it's, like I said in that other show, it's metal adjacent, and sometimes it's very adjacent.
And sometimes it's twisted.
You'll get like Butcher Babies or something along those lines.
I wouldn't mind saying Twisted.
We know what you think about Twisted and ICP.
And that's the thing, it's a multiple day festival, so you'll have Twisted play like every Sunday or Friday, and they'll have like the metal bands go on Saturday. But yeah, no, I'm just Simpsons comic book guying in the chair right now, like I always do. I'm just in spirit.
Jordan, did you get a costume?
No, I haven't worn a costume in years, and I think I've just been so buried in real life that this Halloween season has kind of come and gone almost, and it's just been like, oh well, maybe next year I'll do something fun, but I know it's not going to happen, number one, and number two, I'll just watch a movie on Halloween. Maybe I'll watch The Witch. I haven't seen that yet.
Well, thanks for tuning in, everybody. Be sure to subscribe. No, I'm just kidding. Joe, this is the juicy bit. You tell us, man, what did you do for this year in Halloween costume-wise?
Oh, yeah. My friend throws a massive fucking rager every year for Halloween. It is just like, it's absurd. Like 200 people in a backyard in a residential neighborhood, like just going to town from 8 to like 4 a.m. I can't abide by this from any kind of like responsible citizen like perspective. I normally leave by like midnight, but it's a fucking party. And my lady and I, we went this year as I was Llewellyn Moss and she was Anton Chigurh from No Country for Old Men.
Yeah,
I thought you were swans.
any just weird looking dude in a cowboy hat is not the guy from Swans.
Well, I think it is.
Well, if your fiance broke off from you at any point during the festivities, you didn't really look like you're wearing a costume at all.
No, a bunch of people came up to me at the party because they thought that I was some fucking guy that they work with that I've never met. And apparently that's just what he wears every day.
Just a used car salesman.
Yeah, pretty much. Just loping along in cowboy boots with a stupid mustache.
Yeah. Oh, I just wanted to see what the party was all about.
What are you fellas up to?
No.
But yeah, like we left even earlier this year because we got sick because the water supply in Austin is all fucked up.
I've heard.
Yeah, so we, I guess, consumed the forbidden water and are dealing with the fallout.
So what's the problem with the water? I haven't heard as much about this as we have. Like, is it similar like what's happening in Flint?
No, we're fortunate because we're able to boil the water here to make it usable. In Flint, you can't do that because the pipes are the problem there. So like there's bits of like lead leaking into the water, so you can't boil that away. What happened in Austin was we got just severe flooding, and it put all of this runoff shit into the water, including like silt and God knows what else.
Pig shit, cow shit.
Yeah, exactly. So
heroin like, needles.
The water treatment plant is just having they're not able to like get all through all of this. They're only able to put out a limited amount of clean water, and the Austin has too many people for the infrastructure to begin with. Probably 500,000 plus more than this town can actually handle in terms of any real infrastructure. So it's just there is all kinds of disgusting bacteria running through the taps, and I guess we like wash dishes with the tainted water or something because we didn't think about it. Got all sick, so that was cool.
Fuck.
Well, maybe you'll mutate into something and have a new costume for Halloween.
I hope so.
You'll have to get a second cowboy hat.
Did you guys see anything good this year, though, in terms of horror movies?
I watched two horror movies this month that were worth mentioning.
What do you see?
I saw Creep 2.
I haven't seen that.
I'm a big
fan
of the original Creep. Have you guys watched Creep?
I have. That was the one with the fella from The League, right?
I don't think I've watched The League, but it's probably the fella from The League.
He's Duplass, Mark Duplass. That's the guy.
Yeah, I think that's it.
I watched some his first movie was called a movie called The Puffy Couch, and I caught it at the art theater in town because I liked the name The Puffy Couch, and it was just one of the biggest pieces of shit that I've ever seen in my life.
Well, he's a very good actor, and I think what's interesting about the original Creep is that he's like really obsessed with another guy. And I don't think movies do that a lot, where you have like a guy who's like madly crazy stalker in love with like another dude. It just kind of puts a whole new level of discomfort.
The only thing I can think of aside from that is like The Talented Mr. Ripley.
I don't think I've seen that one.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
In Creep, was he obsessed with Tom York from Radiohead?
I'm going to go ahead and say no, but I appreciate the pun.
Thank you.
They didn't play this song either, I don't think.
Probably couldn't afford it.
Probably couldn't afford it. But then in Creep 2, his he gets involved with like a lady. And so he's just kind of creepy with a lady. So like it went from being like this really scary original movie to him just being like a really weird boyfriend.
To just real life.
Yeah, right. Just a little too close to home. And that was a big criticism. And then I saw The Conjuring, which I don't know how the fuck that ended up on so many like, oh, this is the renaissance of new horror like lists. But it was a fucking terrible movie.
Yeah, James Wan is trash.
Yeah, it's a terrible fucking movie.
So
it's
that, just like, the house from that movie is actually a real house in Rhode Island. Like it still exists and people live there and they had to like eventually do things to keep people from visiting the house.
That's funny.
Like, people just drive up to their house and like knock on the door.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
People do that with the fucking house from Breaking Bad all the time too.
Like, yeah, they throw pizza on the roof.
What the fuck is wrong with? Leave these people alone, you fucking weirdo! You saw a thing on TV. That doesn't mean you're entitled to like fuck with these people in real life.
Yeah, but it's not even original now. You suck. But it's like, oh my God, this was just tropes on top of tropes. It's like I can't believe that he wrote any of these scenes and said, yeah. People like that. That'll be good and original. They got a fucking little girl sitting at a table by herself talking to her new friend. It's like, really? Really? We're going to put that in a movie in the year 2013? Really? Jesus.
The expectations are so low for horror that somebody that doesn't watch any of these movies, they see one that's halfway decently made and they're like, oh, this is visionary. It's incredible for the form.
They got a budget on this one. It's Night Owl from The Watchmen.
It's like Paranormal Activity. It's the horror movie for people that don't like horror.
That's probably true.
Speaking of which, you're probably not going to like The Witch. I liked it.
Yeah.
I love The Witch. I thought it was a great movie.
I'm willing to watch it with an open mind. It kind of falls into that category of everyone went nuts for it when it first came out, so I want to avoid it as much as possible so I won't like be influenced one way or the other. So I'm watching it with an open mind. We'll see what happens. But I did watch Mom and Dad yesterday, the Nicolas Cage.
I haven't heard of that one.
It's Nicolas Cage and Selma Blair. And something happens where all of the parents the world want to kill their children.
Yeah, Britt had that on TV the other day. I caught some of that then. Yeah. It was bad. It was really bad.
Yeah, I was really disappointed.
Yeah.
Like the way it was shown, especially in trailers, like I thought it was going to be funny. And like, you know, in the wacky Nicolas Cage is being crazy sort of way. But it really wasn't. And it was just parents murdering their children.
Yeah, as far as The Witch is concerned, I was nuts about it. I was like one of the people raving about it. But I just recall that the initial reaction was very negative.
Really?
I think people were expecting something more like The Conjuring, which is just like a ham-fisted, ridiculous, obnoxious, like, I'm a spooky witch lady and I'm going to jump at you from the shadows. And it's so fucking dumb. Whereas The Witch is nothing like that. It's actually just, you know, tense and cerebral and makes you uncomfortable in legitimate ways. Yeah. And people were just like, this isn't spooky. And they fucking walked out of theaters and stuff. So
honestly thought that the spookiest part about that movie was like how horrifying it would have been to basically live out in the prairie, like at this primitive era where like you have nothing, and if you fuck up the crop yield, you die.
Yeah, and that was part of the whole thing. I mean, it just, everything was done intentionally, and it's, I thought it was a really good movie. Maybe I'm a bit more of a like a snobby douche than the next guy, but I don't know. It's a good movie if you're a snobby douche.
That's fair.
I saw the Ritual. I thought that was decent.
I got to see that because Yuka told me to, and I still haven't seen it.
What is that? I don't think I've seen that one.
It's a Netflix, I think, direct horror movie. Hmm. You know, creative, had its moments. It takes place in Sweden. Friends walking through the woods, basically, and some monsters have to get them.
Maybe I'll watch that today.
You know, monsters got to do it to him, fam.
Yeah, well, is like Lost in the Woods officially a horror genre or subgenre at this point? Or do we need a couple more?
Okay, Britt, yeah, I had this on as well. I caught some of this as well. You should put everything on TV.
just maybe you should watch. I don't know. I mean, Lost in the Woods, yeah. I feel like... sometimes I'll call a movie a haunted house movie when it's not really a haunted house, but I'll call it that because it's like going to a haunted house on Halloween, just a bunch of bullshit kind of mashed together to like just, you know, scare you in these stupid jump scary ways. Very, very ridiculous, ludicrous movie that's like that is, I think it's The Last Shift, where there's this cop lady inside of a like a old abandoned... so I think it's a like a police department or something that's about to be closed down, and she's there by herself, and so she's just dealing with like all sorts of spooky happenings that happen around the police department. It's like a 1 out of 5 movie.
It sounds like Mirrors. Did you see that one?
No, but I saw Oculus.
Oh,
which reminds me,
I think it's pretty similar. Mirrors is that guy from Lost Boys and 24.
Kiefer Sutherland.
Kiefer Sutherland, yeah. He's like a security guard in a big old burned down department store. And there's creepy shit going on in the mirrors. It's a bad movie. I'm angry that I watched it.
Most movies are bad movies. I mean, Oculus, and I don't mean horror movies. I mean, most movies are bad movies. The grand majority of movies are like 2 out of 5. And they make them every year all the time, and they're all bad. I also think it's interesting when you watch a movie that you remember being kind of good in the context of the time it came out, and then you watch it later, and you're just like, what the actual fuck were they thinking? Something like Sam Raimi's Spider-Man or something like that.
Different time.
You know, that's what I'm saying, is that when you watch it in the movie theater, you're like, holy shit, that was pretty fun. That was cool. And then you watch it later, and you're ashamed of yourself.
I mean, it's different time. You're a different person. Other things have come along that have been better or worse. So you kind of look back and just have different opinions of things. It happens all the time.
Yeah. What's something that you were really into when you were younger and you're ashamed of now?
I don't know if I'm really ashamed of anything. I mean, it is a part of me, whatever I liked. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, I like that. I've been pretty open about liking new metal bands. Like, I don't care. Like, whatever. I'd listen to some garbage music. It means something to me. It still makes me happy. So shame doesn't really happen when it comes to stuff like that.
I used to be into, like, wire foo movies. Like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Like Iron Monkey. There was this one movie called Bulletproof Monk.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought,
was this Sean William, his name in it?
Sean William Stifler. Scott. Stifler. And I thought it was such a cool movie when it came out that I like bought it on DVD. This came out so long ago that like it was so long ago that I watched it again, I think randomly on HBO or something. And I was just like, what the fuck is this movie? It's Chow Yun-Fat. And then it's, yeah, Sean William Scott doing Chow Yun Fat moves, and it's the dumbest fucking movie ever made.
Yeah. Sean William Scott, more bad movies than good. I'm thinking of, like, The Rundown.
What was that other movie where he was with Paul Rudd, and they were like...
Role Models, yeah.
Role Models, that was another one that was on TV recently. He's just not a good actor.
No.
But back to horror movies. Oculus was a really bad movie, and it's also ends up on, like, the new horror renaissance lists all the time. Don't watch it. It's you're going to know it's got the official seal of quality because WWE Films comes on the fucking screen the moment it starts.
Jesus Christ. Who from the WWE is in that movie?
I don't think anyone. I think they just ponied up some money for it.
Oh, okay.
Like, I think they've kind of realized they shouldn't always have their wrestlers act in movies.
You just got to shoehorn John Cena somewhere in there.
Yeah. Kane really needs to be in this.
Just get The Miz in a mirror somewhere. I don't know.
Marine 10.
Oh, my God. I can't believe they used that as, like, the gimmick for The Miz is that he's all Hollywood because he was in some direct-to-DVD.
Last year, I watched a movie called The Boy. Did you ever see that one?
No.
It's this woman is hired as a caretaker for rich people. This old rich couple, and they have her look after this little porcelain doll that they say is their baby.
Oh, yeah.
Man, okay, it's a total piece of shit, but I'm going to go ahead and make the official Toilet of Hell recommendation that you folks out there watch this total piece of shit.
Okay, I'll do it. I think that doll horror and children in horror is those are the stupidest fucking tropes.
Oh yeah, easily.
Agreed.
Yeah, like trying to make little kids creepy is definitely just the worst thing. It's already been done a billion times. It never works out. Do you guys remember the movie? It's not Insidious, but it's a word like that.
Sinister.
Sinister. Thank you. That movie started off so fucking cool.
I love that movie, straight up. Like, it does fall apart at the end, but I think
that's what I'm talking
the
about.
Atmosphere of it is so good.
Yeah, kept it.
Yeah, I put on the Toilet of Hell October mixtape. I put one of the Boards of Canada tracks that was in that movie, like during one of the murder scenes. Just because, like, that atmospheric music they were putting on, like while you're watching these grainy murders, like just. Fantastic atmosphere.
Oh, it's so fucking cool. And then they just decide all of a sudden to make it stupid.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
3/4 into the movie. It's just like, oh, it turns out that Oingy Boingy Fucko Man is like a old Viking tradition. And what he does is he makes children spooky.
Yeah.
And
they did just grab some like corpse paint dickhead for like the final villain. So that was dumb, but I still like the movie.
Yeah. Watch it
in terms of like, you know, modern big budget horror movies. It's definitely one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Children in horror movies is always the kiss of death. They're always either incredibly stupid, incredibly annoying, or incredibly stupid and incredibly annoying.
Yeah, I just don't care if they die, and I want one of them to die just once.
That's what Mom and Dad is for. Lots of children die in it.
Oh, sick. I'm going to love it. 5 stars. I haven't even seen a trailer. 5 stars. Kids die.
Yeah, well, the last one that I just straight quit because I fucking hated it so much was the Collector. Which is just like unnecessarily brutal, like lots of children being murdered, like in very grisly ways. The movie is like just murder porn. Like I can't abide by it.
5 stars, children getting murdered. Yeah. I love it. I love it. But they'll kill the fucking dog, but they won't kill the kid. It's stupid. Don't watch Conjuring. It sucks.
Yeah. And so far the best movie of 2018, Mandy. That's my take.
Mandy?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen any of these fucking movies, man.
You gotta see Mandy. It's available on like they did a thing where they release it in some theaters, just kind of like to get hype for the streaming release, and now they're doing a wider theater expansion because people are like, fuck, I gotta see that. Watch it. It's Nick Cage, one of his top three rolls, I'm going to say.
Right on. Yeah, Nicolas Cage. That's probably why I never got into it, is because he's just like cancer to me. I will not touch anything he's in.
I tried watching Kiss of the Vampire. I watched all of Kiss of the Vampire, or Vampire's Kiss, the other day. It's like about, he's like some stockbroker. No, he's like a literary agent, yuppie, who thinks he gets bit by a vampire and like is... It's supposed to be like he just has this horrific degenerative mental illness that manifests in him thinking he's a vampire, but it's unconscionably bad, the entire thing. You've probably seen GIFs of his performance in the movie. It's just 2:10 for 2 hours, like Nicolas Cage overacting hard as fuck. So it's enjoyable for that, but it is a bad, bad movie.
I'd love to see it. 5 stars.
I guess that's all of the recommendations I got. What do you got, guys?
Definitely watch Creep 1 and then Creep 2. They're still both good. Even though, I mean, Creep 2 is not as good, but still a good movie. Watch The Shrine, because the guy from Winter Sun told me to, even though you couldn't hear him over the sound of his tour bus. He did, yeah. Oh, was it The Ritual?
Yeah.
I take it back. It's The Ritual. And, I mean, watch all the new cool stuff too. Like, watch The Witch, watch It Follows. That's a good one. Have you guys seen that one?
Yeah, I like that one. That was silly.
It's silly. I liked it. What about The Babadook? Did you guys like The Babadook?
I liked
I was cheering for The Babadook the entire time.
Yeah.
You wanted him to kill this.
Well, the thing
that's another one. The kid should have been killed because he was annoying.
Well, that's the thing. The point of that movie was.
I know it's the point.
The point
I
of the movie was like, it's how. Still not,
go ahead.
The point of the movie was like just how hard and scary it would be to be a single working mother with a child that has, you know, behavioral cognitive disabilities.
Yes, I get that. I understand that. I also don't want to sit through an hour and a half of that. That is not entertainment to me. That is just annoying.
Did you see Hereditary?
I did not. I gotta see that.
Well, I mean, like it's in a similar vein to The Babadook, in that it is just painful. Like, it is a feel-bad movie. So, I would say, like, I don't know. I don't really want to watch either one of them again, but given the choice, it would be Hereditary.
Yeah. I mean, The Babadook, I don't think was that hard for me. And I get it. You know, it's like, oh, it's the kids has a mental illness, but then the mom has a mental illness, too.
Well, yeah, it's like
she has to hold it in her basement,
and like, yeah, I mean, like, it's not a movie meant for like dudes that like slasher movies and shit.
Although I think it's kind of lame that they're just sort of making motherhood into like they're taking advantage of the fears that come with that already in order to make a spooky movie. I feel like Rosemary's Baby kind of already did that.
Oh yeah, but I mean that was done by that. That pederast fella, and here we are, we're full circle.
That's the way we end it. We tie up every show with a nice little bow at the end. That's all for you guys.
Yeah. Roman Rock Spider Polanski. Anything else you wanna tack on this one, Jordan?
Everyone listen to Horror Punk over the next couple days. So lots of Misfits, Blitz Kid, Calabrese, the Creep Show, all that fun stuff. This is the time to do it.
So Michael Graves is playing Austin in a couple weeks. Might go to that.
Yeah, he's actually touring with some bands I really want to see. Nimvind, who are a hard punk band from Canada, and the Argyle Goolsby, who used to be in Blitzkid. So it sounds like a fun time.
Sick.
I'm going to do lots of O's and woes.
And give yourself a devil lock. You have to. It's required.
Well, this has been an episode, fellas. Thanks for listening to us chuckleheads, and we'll see you the next time.
Keep it metal, bros.
Bye.
listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.